Father, we thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the love that reveals your mind and reveals the word and reveals your way, the way of salvation unto everyone. We're asking, Lord, that tonight your revelation, your word, your mind, your will come and penetrate every heart in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, we'll be receivers of the word, believers of the word, and doers of the word in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, day and night, morning and evening, every time, anytime, convenient, not convenient, in season, out of season, your word will be precious to everyone in Jesus' name. And we pray the grace, the power, the strength to do the word, to do the work, and to go your way, your grant you, every one of us without exception, in Jesus' name. Bless everyone here, and bless everyone everywhere connected, listening to the word, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the headquarters church said, amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming in our study to Daniel chapter 2. Already we've gone through chapter 1. In chapter 1, we've seen that God sent Nebuchadnezzar to Judah, to Jerusalem, to the people of God, and to take them captive. And he came to Babylon. And now, out of those Babylonian, out of those Jewish people, some Jews were selected that they will train them and train them in the language of the Chaldeans and in the culture of the Chaldeans, actually also in the religion of the Chaldeans. But there were four people that singled themselves out: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They purposed in their heart that they will not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat and with the wine that he drank. There were not very many. God is not looking for, you know, crowds to push forward his aim and his goal and his mind. The few that will be faithful to the Lord, the few that will give attention to the word, accept the word, believe the word, and live by the word. And those few we find in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They, the four of them, purposed in their heart that the word of God, they had learned before, the experience that we have in the Lord, that our hearts are turned around, our hearts are changed, our minds are transformed. And wherever we are, in Rome, in Babylon, anywhere, in Nigeria, in Africa, America, anywhere, that wherever we are, we will obey the word of God, and whatever wind might be blowing around us, and whatever situation may be around us, our conversion, our consecration, our confidence in God, our commitment to the Lord will remain intact, and nothing will shift us or move us away from thus says the Lord. And so they were given chance to just eat vegetables, to drink water. And as they did that, at the end of the days, they checked up on them, and in every way, their physique better, their appearance better, their health better, their knowledge better, their understanding better, the visions they had and the gifts they were given better. And so eventually were brought to the palace of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, and they served with other people. That's chapter 1. In fact, we are told that they were 10 times better. And we are believing the Lord that this year, everyone that associates with the deeper life, deeper in knowledge, deeper in wisdom, deeper in revelation, and deeper in the Christian life that we live, that by the grace of God, according to the promise of God, we're going to be better than the past in Jesus' name. better than our peers. Our colleagues will be going to be better. In Jesus' name, I'm better than the people of the land. The Lord will make us better in every way, in Jesus' name. Now we come to chapter 2. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar hatched a dream. It was a significant dream. It was a prophetic dream. It was a frightening dream that he had. And he looked for interpretation. He could not find. The magicians were not able to interpret. The astrologers were not able to interpret. All the people in the land, all the who is who, and all the significant people, the wise people, and all the educated and intelligent people in the land, all their spiritual, in quote, spiritual people, they were not able to interpret. And Nebuchadnezzar became so angry and furious. He was actually frightened. Fearful people are furious people. They fear something might happen to them. And because they fear, they're furious. Fear makes people frightened. Fear makes people kind of angry. Fear makes people furious. Fear makes people wicked. And so the fear that Nebuchadnezzar had, thinking, nobody can interpret this. What if this dream means my death, and then I die, and they continue to live, all right, before I die? That's what he thought. Frightened, fearful. Are you ever fearful? When you are fearful, you don't love. When you are fearful, you forget how to relate like a neighbor. When you are fearful, you become angry. A little sin will jolt you because you are fearful. You are frightened. And so you want to destroy the lives of other people, the progress of other people, and the good things belonging to other people. You want to destroy because you are fearful and frightened and furious. And so he said, let's kill. He didn't say let us, because he didn't consult with anybody. He said, all of you that couldn't interpret my dream, that have forgotten, you couldn't bring it out, and you couldn't interpret, you will die. And so he sent to people that will kill them and destroy them. And now they got to Daniel, and Daniel cool and calm. You know, when you're living in the presence of God, you're living according to the word of God, nothing frightens you. The rains are coming down. The torrents are flowing. The rivers are roaring. And the waves are terrible. And it appears there is danger everywhere. Nothing frightens you. And so it was cool and calm. He said, that's the messenger they sent to kill them. Why is this edict of the king so serious? And then you want our lives? And he told him, you should have told us that before. You should have thoughtfully gone ahead and then find out from everybody. Because this kind of fury, this is dangerous for you, for your kingdom, and for your future. Now you kill everybody, all the wise men, all the people you trained, you're going to kill them. And so he said, go tell the king, I, Daniel, with my colleagues, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will give him the answer. I love that. You know what I love there? The man had not even prayed. He had not saw the face of the Lord. But he had the assurance that this thing that the king was looking for, they were the people of God, these four people, and the God of heaven gave that dream, and they knew they had this connection with the God of heaven. Because of that, say, go tell him, we'll give him the dream, we'll give him the interpretation. And so they prayed, and eventually they got it. And this year, as we pray to the Lord, while you're still praying, the Lord will answer your prayer. And the secret that the people, that perplexes the people, the secret that jolts the people, will not perplex you, will not jolt you. You will have every sin you need to discover that needs to be revealed to you, and your life will be preserved and secured in Jesus' name. That the story of what we are looking at today, and today we are having the message, heavenly revelation that troubles the highest on earth. Nebuchadnezzar was the highest on earth, the highest king, the highest emperor, the number one in the whole, on the whole earth, and yet a dream troubled him. You'll soon discover why it troubled him. And if the highest in the land, the highest in the world, the highest conqueror, the highest emperor, the highest king on earth, if he could be troubled, anyone on earth can have trouble. But thank God, when you have Christ, when you're in the Lord, and you have the power of the Lord supporting you, and the peace of God, you have that in your heart. You have the performance of the Lord assured for you, and you have also the power of God, and you are linked and connected with Christ that says, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Your life is secured in Jesus' name. Heavenly revelation that troubles the highest on earth. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, inspired revelation from the King, capital K, from the King of Kings, through an instructive dream. The Lord wanted to give him instruction. He wasn't a believer. He didn't have the Bible. He wasn't a believer. He didn't have a pastor. He wasn't a believer. He didn't have a prophet that will give him the mind of God. And so God went direct to him and gave him the dream. And it's an inspired revelation from the King of Kings through an instructive dream. Number two is the impossible request by the king for interpretative discovery. He had forgotten the dream, and he wanted a discovery of the dream and an interpretation of the dream. And it was an impossible request that none of his wise men, and none of his astrologers, and none of the magicians in his land, of the occultic people in his land, could grant unto him. Impossible. And yet we know that what looks impossible, what appears impossible for man and woman and for everyone, for us in God, in Christ, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. What the magicians cannot handle, what the occultists cannot handle, and what the powers of darkness cannot handle, even what scientific knowledge cannot handle, our God is able, able to reveal, able to save, able to deliver, able to destroy all the works of the devil, and able to stop the death that was coming to those wise people in the land. And so, impossible request by the king for interpretative discovery. Number three, incredible reassurance. Incredible reassurance. When everybody was hiding, everybody running away, everybody seeking how they're going to escape from the land so they will not be killed, Daniel stayed there. He sent us here, we're here, and nothing can touch our lives until we've finished our assignment on earth. And so you have the calmness, you have the confidence, and you have the assurance in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they had incredible reassurance before the king by interceding Daniel. Daniel was going to pray. He was going to intercede. And because of that intercession, he knew the secret will be revealed unto them. Let's come to number one. Number one is the inspired revelation from the king. That's the King of Kings, through an instructive dream. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1. It says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. And then in verse 2, it says, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show him, the king, his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. Verse 5, in verse 5, it says, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dung hill. That's the real foundation of his trouble. He said, I had a dream, and I've called you, so you can make the interpretation for me. And he said, tell us the dream, and we will find something to tell you that will look like interpretation. He said, but I've forgotten. He said, if you don't recover that forgotten dream, then I'm going to kill you, and all your houses will be made dunghill. The dream was inspired of God, a message from God. And those who do not have connection with the living God, the God of heaven, they cannot find the interpretation. Before you get the interpretation or you discover the dream, you have to be connected with the giver of the dream, with the one that inspired the dream. And if you are not able to get connection with him, there's no way you recover the forgotten dream. There are three things here. Number one is the forgotten dream of a frightened king. Number two is a factual dream of a faulty king. And number three is a far-fetched deliberations on future kingdoms. Look at number one there. Number one is the forgotten dream of a frightened king. I just read that to you now. There are people that they might have a dream and they forget. The dream could come because of natural activities during the day. The dream could come because of the thoughts of the mind in the heart of man. The dream could come directly from God. We know dreams that come from God. Came to Abimelech, dream from God. Came to Gideon, dream from God. Came to Joseph, dream from God. Came to Joseph of the New Testament, dream from God. And came from the wife of Pilate, when Pilate was trying to judge the Lord Jesus Christ. And a dream came to the wife, and the dream said, that is an innocent man, have nothing to do in condemning that man. And so now we have the forgotten dream of a frightened king. But something more serious, there are people that forget not dream but the word of God. They hear the word that can save them, the word that will make them happy, holy, healthy in their future. They have a dream that will make them to walk in the way of the Lord. They have the word that will make them walk in the way of the Lord. And they forget. That's more serious. There are people that have messages of salvation, prophetic utterance that will show us what is about to happen in the world, and they forget. That's very serious. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, and I'm reading from verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. I have heard What the prophet said, the prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Look at verse 26. It says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets? The prophesy lies. And they are prophets of their deceit, of their own heart. And then in verse 27, it says, which thing to cause my people to forget my name. There are so-called prophets, the so-called dreamers, the so-called people at the end of each year, at the beginning of the year, they're so confident, they are telling their nations, this will happen, that will happen, and they make people to forget the word of the Lord. And there are people that receive all those dreams and all those prophecies, and they forget the word of the Lord. I think there are many people too in our midst, although they are hearing the word of God, they forget the word. What word am I talking about? Jesus said in the last days, what will happen is nation will be against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and these are the beginning of sorrows. I think many people have forgotten that, and so they say, oh Lord, this year and this decade, let there be no war, let there be no alarm, let there be no difficulty, any nation at all, every nation, let there be peace. But Jesus said, what will happen is that nation will be against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. It says there'll be turbulence both in the sun and in the moon. And he said there'll be perplexity of mind, and people, they'll be suffering. Things will be happening to them, to the world. I'm not talking about to the church, but to the world. And Paul the apostle said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he tells us what will be happening in those perilous days. But we find people, they have another dream, they have another word, they have another revelation, and their revelation, their dream makes them to forget the word of the Lord. And these were told, that's in verse 27 here, it says, they tell every man his neighbor as their fathers had forgotten my name for Baal. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 8. We're looking at verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. All the people that say they have dreams, they have revelations, if they speak not according to this word. Now we have the whole Bible. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't have a single verse of the Bible. Daniel had, but he didn't have a single verse of the Bible. And since he didn't have the Bible, God revealed that dream unto him, but he needed interpretation. Now we have the whole Bible. If any dream comes, any dreamer comes, and if that dreamer does not speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in such a person. Revelation chapter 22, we're looking at verse 18, Revelation 22, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If anybody comes now, he has a dream. He has not even forgotten the dream. He wants to direct your life by his dream. He wants to control your local church by his dream. She, the woman, wants to control the whole church by her dream. And always coming to her pastor, always coming to her overseer, I've dreamt again. This is going to happen. So if that pastor is not careful, is not leading the church, is not teaching the church, is not developing the church, is not edifying the church with the word of God, and is taking away, is forgetting the word of God, there's somebody there coming with a dream and coming with a dream, and the Lord said, I testify testify to everyone, every man, every woman that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man, any woman, any preacher, anyone anywhere, if anyone shall take away from the word of God, from the prophecy, it says, his part shall be taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Then in verse 19, it tells us in verse 19, it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written therein. I pray we'll keep to the word of God. You will keep to the word of God, and you'll not take anything away. You'll not add anything to the word of God in Jesus' name. We're coming to number two here. Number three, the factual dream of a faulty king. Well, he was faulty. That is Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord raised him up. He didn't recognize it was the Lord that raised him up. And he was going his own way. He didn't realize that he ought to obey the God that ordained him, that put him there, that made him a king. And because of that, he was going astray, a faulty king. He had a dream. He had forgotten the dream. He was at fault. He forgot. He called the magicians. He called the astrologers. He called the Chaldeans. He said, I had a dream. I forgot the dream. Okay, you have forgotten and you had a dream. We didn't have the dream. What do you expect of us? Tell me the dream. You who dreamt, you forgot. We who didn't dream were to search out the dream. He was a faulty man, a faulty king. He was demanding the impossible from other people. And the same thing you'll find, there are other kings like that, other people like that. There are even other people who say they are following the Lord. They're faulty in their thinking. They're faulty in their action. They're faulty in their character. Look at Genesis chapter 20. We're looking at verse 3. It was told, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. You see, God had special ways of revealing himself to everyone that doesn't know him. A man that doesn't have a prophet, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher of the word, and yet, if God is going to judge him, he must reveal him to himself. He must reveal the way he had gone and the way he was following. And so we are told God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Now you may not know that that woman was married before. Well, if you don't know, the Bible is there. And neighbors are there and people are there that could tell you. And then if nobody tells you, God can speak to your conscience and you will know that this woman is another man's wife. And then we're told in verse 4, in verse 4 it tells us, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Verse 5. In verse 5 it says, said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the innocence, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand, have I done this? Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, but God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for also I also withdrew thee and withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffered thee not. I permitted thee not. I didn't allow you to touch her. What do I do now? What should he do now? What should you do now? Because you didn't know, but now you know. Verse 7, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine. I'm sure you know the story. He restored Sarah to Abraham. And because of that, his life was spared. He was healed. And all the members of his household, they were also healed. I pray if there's any danger, if there's anything that somebody has done, that you have done, that we have done, that will destroy any life, the Lord will reveal to us in Jesus' name. And when he reveals the grace and the strength, the enablement to go ahead and obey the Lord will grant to you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Job chapter 33. And we're reading from verse 14. Job 33, reading from verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He spoke to Pharaoh once, twice, gave him a dream that famine was coming. It would be a terrible famine. And if he would search out an interpreter and interpret to him, and he'll follow the interpretation, his life and the life of his nation and the nations around will be spared. That's exactly what he did. And they brought Joseph when he couldn't find an interpreter. He interpreted to them, and they did exactly what Joseph had said, and their lives were spared. In our lives, that's why God gives us preachers, interpreters of the word, teachers of the word, that although we have read the word, although we have even studied the word, we didn't understand, and then he sends along an interpreter, a preacher, a teacher of the word. And as he reveals and we obey, our lives, spiritually and physically, will be preserved and protected in Jesus' name. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it tells us, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings and upon the bed. In verse 16, it says, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. In verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. The purpose that was wrong. The purpose that will bring eternal judgment, eternal destruction, eternal perdition, eternal separation from God. The purpose that a man had, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, and the end will be hellfire. And if they are not listening to any man, then God sends them a dream. And through that dream, he brings them to understanding, to withdraw man from his purpose, and to hide pride from man. We're coming to number three here. Number three, it says the far-fetched deliberations on future kingdoms. How did this dream come? I mean, the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and why did it come? Look at this in Daniel chapter 2. We're reading from verse 29. Daniel chapter 2, reading from verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. It was Daniel now talking to him, and Daniel was saying, I'm not only going to tell you the dream you're forgotten, I'm going to tell you what was in your mind, what you were thinking of before the dream came. What was he thinking of? Look at that verse 29 again. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter? That's what Nebuchadnezzar was thinking about. He was a great king, a great emperor, rich and in control of the whole earth. And he was thinking, will this continue forever? Will this continue for a long time? Am I going to be in this high position for a long time? That's what you're thinking about. And would there be another king from another nation after me? And will he take my kingdom? Will anybody rise to power, having greater power, and then pushing me away from the kingdom? He was thinking, what should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. That's what far-fetched deliberation in his heart, in his mind. What will happen after him? What kingdom will come after him? Look at verse 36. In verse 36, it said, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. While Daniel was speaking, the king didn't show any facial appearance that would tell Daniel, you are right, that is the dream. He didn't smile. He just had a kind of plastic face looking at him. And if Daniel was not sure, he could have been thinking, am I right? Am I wrong? Is this true? The king is not responding, but was very sure. He said, this is the dream. And there's something we call the gift of the Spirit in the New Testament. And it's the word of knowledge. There's the word of wisdom. There is the discerning of spirits. There's the gift of faith. There's the gift of healing. There's the gift of working miracles. There's the gift of prophecy. And the gift of speaking in tongues. And the gift of interpreting tongues. And if you're very sure, when God has revealed something by the word of knowledge and by the word of wisdom, although the person you're talking to might say, no, 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 that cannot be. How can that be? Now he's a carnal man. He's trying to deceive. He knows this is true. And if you're a real man of God and you have the infilling of the Spirit and you have the real gift of the Spirit, you will know that that is the truth. He or she might deny it. He or she might say, you are suspecting me. He or she might say, that is the suspicion. You are doing something against me. But you know, in your heart of heart, this is true. And you're not allowed the argument. You're not allowed their negative response or reaction to make you shake. You'll be able to say like Daniel, this is the dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof. Look at that same chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 45. In verse 45, it says, for as much as thou sawest, this is what you saw, that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. It was an image of gold that he saw. And that image was like the portrait of a man, the statue of a man, the head of gold, and then the breast and the hands of silver, and then the trunk, that's the belly, the tummy, was of brass, and then the feet, the legs, and the toes of iron and of clay. And a stone came from the mountain without an earth, was thrown at that image, and everything collapsed. And so Daniel said that what you have seen, the great, the gold, the great God has made known unto the king. What shall come to pass hereafter? That's another time he's using the word hereafter. The kingdoms of the world, one on top of the other, one displacing the other, then the stone will come and smite that, and everything will collapse, and the stone will become a great mountain, and it will fill the whole earth. And Daniel said, the dream is certain. Understand? Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had not even responded. But Daniel said, that's the dream. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation there, sure. We're coming to point number two. Number two, we're looking at impossible requests by the king for interpretative discovery. Here is where Nebuchadnezzar now is asking for the dream before Daniel came on. We're dividing this to three parts. Number one is the fruitless consultation with occultic powers. Those magicians, they had occultic powers. Those astrologers, they had occultic powers. Those magicians and astrologers with the Chaldeans, they had occultic powers. With the sorcerers, they had occultic power. And then Nebuchadnezzar felt, these are our people. And that's why they are there. That's why I pointed them. They should be able to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Fruitless consultation with occultic powers. When you have a problem today and you consult the occult, it's fruitless. Maybe you don't even have a problem yet. You're a student in the high school, a student in higher institution, and you're imagining, you don't even have the problem yet. You're looking into the future. What if I have a problem? And then there's some initiated people. They have been initiated into the occult, into a gang, into a particular kind of secret cult. And they say big men are there, big women are there. They say businessmen are there. And they say even professors are there. And they say that highly placed people are there. And then they ask you, what do you think brought them there? It's not their brain, it's not their intelligence, it's not that they are business savvy, it's because they depended on these occultic powers. And then they invite you. They don't force you, they only invite you. So you cannot say, I couldn't do anything, they push me there. You ruin your life by consulting with those occultic powers and those evil spirits, hidden spirits in the midst of people. You might belong to a good church, a good institution, a good university, and a good place, and then you sneak out to go and get initiation. You ruin your life. The fruitless consultation with occultic powers. Number two, the forbidden consultation of occultists in person. That you take yourself, open eyes, open mind, you know what you are doing, and you leave the light of the day and you walk into darkness deliberately by yourself. The forbidden consultation of occultists in person. Number three, the fatal consultation with occultism by proxy. What does that mean by proxy? Well, you know, you are inviting me, I want to come, but I'm a pastor's son, I'm a pastor's daughter, and I can't have all that time away from home to go and do that kind of thing. I agree with you, but because of who I am, and because of dad and mom, and because they cannot know this, they'll pray it out of my life. Okay, if you cannot do it, you'll do it by proxy. Nominate anyone that will represent you, and they'll go and do the sacrifice for you. You're hooked. Yeah, cool. Because there is fatal consequence having that kind of occultic interaction by proxy. Let's look at number one. Number one is the fruitless consultation with occultic powers. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 1. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him, went from him. Now, verse 2 now. In verse 2, it says, then the king commanded to call the magicians, to call them. He wanted to consult with them, to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, but if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive the gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. Then he tells us in verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see that the thing is gone from me. Verse 9 says, but if ye will not make known unto me the dream, and there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's dream. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. In verse 11 it says, and it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other than that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. I'm sure you understand what he was saying is, no man on earth can reveal this. And there was one man nearby, his name Daniel. They know him, but they didn't know him. They knew him, but he didn't know what he had, what he could do, what he could reveal. There is no man on earth, not in Babylon, not in Jerusalem, not in Assyria, not anywhere, that can show the king's dream. My friend, there is a man, and he's very nearby. You should have contacted him. And you know that he's 10 times better than all of you magicians. Why are you saying there is no man? And then look at this. They said, except the gods. The gods. Only the gods could know this. Whose dwelling is not with flesh. Again, they were wrong. All those people, they're trying to be religious, but the religion doesn't bring out the knowledge. They said the gods could do this, they could reveal this, but those gods do not dwell with man. Sir, you're wrong, because God said to Moses, I am with you, and my presence shall go with you. The God of heaven dwells with him. And God said to Joshua, I will be with you. Anywhere you go, I am there with you. He dwells with man. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He dwells with man. And Daniel, greatly great man, beloved of his God. God dwelt with him. And Jesus said to the church, he said, I'll send the Holy Ghost unto you, because he dwells with you and shall be inner you. And so you understand, these people, although they were cultic people, they had what they call magic, whatever, they didn't have the proper knowledge. And now they said, Nebuchadnezzar, nobody ever requires this from anybody, because only the God of heaven can do this. Fruitless. Look at Isaiah. I'm reading there from chapter 47, and we're looking at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 47, we're reading from verse 13. It says, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon you. It was talking to the people who had been consulting with these occultic powers. He said, now you are coming back to me because you reached a dead end, because you could not move further. Go to your prognosticators and go to your astrologers. If they can save you at this time, look at verse 14. In verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It says, there shall not be a coal to warm, nor fire to siege before it. That means then, it's a foolish thing that anybody will say is depending on evil power, this, this, and that. Let's look at number two here. Number two is the forbidding consultation of occultists in person. The Lord has told everyone that believes in him, everyone that's a child of God, every one of the people of God, they should not consult with occultism, occultic powers. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're reading from verse 10. In verse 10 it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it tells us, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirit, or wizard, or a necromancer. Those who will say they want to talk to the dead. The Lord said, none of his children, none of his people will consult with necromancers or will consult with a familiar spirit. If anybody comes and is coming with familiar spirit in him or in her, and then he comes to the church, he's not a member of the church until he repents, until he gives up all the association and consultation with evil power, with secret cult. He's not a child of God. He may pretend and be baptized in water. That baptism does not make him or her a child of God. He might, change the outward expression and dress like we dress. That dressing does not make a girl, a lady, a woman, does not make that person a child of God if he's still having the familiar spirit and the spirit of the dead consulting them. It says you'll not consult, you'll not be a consulter with familiar spirits. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, for all that do these things, you might go to church, all that do these things, they might come here, associate with us in our church. They might even become workers, whatever they are. God knows them and God knows you. It says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. It tells us in verse 14. In verse 14, it says, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observer of times. So you use the zodiac and you say you are born this month, look at your future. That month, look at your future. Those who consult that, and they're consulting evil, or they're looking at the stars to control their future, or to predict to them where they will be, or they're giving their palms to the palm reader, that as they look at their palms, then they begin to tell them this will happen. All those people are consultants with familiar spirits and with the occult, and those who allow that initiation, and then they make a mark in the body, and then they mix it with something, they say drink that, that's initiation. And you are consulting with evil spirit, and the judgment of God will come upon such a person. And he says, the Lord thy God has not permitted you to sow to do. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles, and we're looking at chapter 19, verse 18. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, and we're reading from verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. When somebody believes, if he had been with the occult or with magic, or they had been seeing that kind of a vision for him and inscribing something in his body and putting that black thing there, and then they do incantation on him, when you say you believe, you become a child of God, you renounce all those things and you destroy all the materials you have. It says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, and many of them also which use curious arts, magical arts, occultic arts, brought their books together and bunched them. They didn't transfer it to another friend. They didn't transfer it to a neighbor. They didn't say, this one cost me a fortune. I paid a lot for this. And now since I'm born again now, and I cannot, go into their meetings anymore, and I cannot, and they would even say, okay, if you're not coming again, bring somebody. Your brother, your sister, a woman, bring your daughter. A man, bring your son. Bring somebody close to you. Since you say you don't want to be there again, bring somebody and transfer all those occultic materials to them. You cannot do that. You don't want to go to hell, and then you are bringing somebody that will go to hell. You can't do that. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and bunched them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And look at the next verse there, verse 20. It says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. All those that abandoned those things, separated from themselves from that, and they bought all those seeds, the word of God grew in them and grew through them, and then through other people, a network of believers and preachers. Now the word of God was growing in that region, growing in that state, growing in that nation, growing in that environment, because they rejected, they repented of, they renounced all occultism. Look at number three here. Number three here is the fatal consultation with occultism by proxy. It was unfortunate that Saul, the first king in Israel, as he was going to battle, I don't know what will happen in the battle. Will I come out free? Will I come out, alive? And he didn't know. He prayed to God, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the Lord did not hear him. And so he said, okay, I know what to do. I will seek out the witch of Endor. And then that became his ruin. You see, there are people, they do not understand. They are going from frying pan to fire. And things are like that in the world. People will tell you, they say, use this to clear this problem, this sickness. But there are side effects. And so you use that. The disease we are trying to kill, that one goes away. The side effect is a greater sickness. And then you see, because this one now, you thought that other one's killing you. This one is more dangerous. And so you go back to them. You say, this is what I'm having now. They say, yes, we knew you were come. Because there's always the side effect. And for out of 1,000 people, 100 people may have this. 50 people may have this. 1 people may have this rare case. And you're one of those rare cases. And then they give you something again. You are battling with another one. Serious, more serious than what you were trying to cure before. And use that one. And this one clears off now. Now there's another side effect. And this side effect is greater than the other side effect you had. You have to go back to them again. It's a vicious cycle. That's why you should be careful in your life. I'm having this problem. I prayed and it is not solved yet. Then you go to the people that I don't want to mention, and then you go to, oh, they say very simple problem, they'll get rid of this. And true, they got rid of that, but Satan is not dumb. Satan is not going to give you that free. There is a side effect, there is an inner effect, there is a spiritual effect. And when that one comes, then you go to them again. Satan does that so that you'll be totally linked up and nailed with them and glued to them. You'll never leave them. Today you are delivered in Jesus' name. Now look at this now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, 1 Chronicles rather, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 13. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, reading from verse 13, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. That's why that man died without forgiveness. He died without reconciliation with God. He died without being ready for heaven. The king of Israel, he had a part of the Bible that Moses had written. He had Samuel, the prophet. He'll not listen to Samuel. He'll not read his Bible. And eventually he went to the witch of Endor. And the Bible says he died because he went to one to seek counsel and to seek consultation that had a familiar spirit. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore, because of that, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. I pray you will not die in the shrine of the occultic man, occultic woman, in Jesus' name. If it happens that there's any problem and you have prayed and the answer has not come, understand, the answer is on the way. It will get you. After all, you've endured for 2 weeks, you've endured for 2 months, 1 day remaining, you will not look back. He will answer your prayer. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, incredible reassurance before the king by the interceding Daniel. Now you know Daniel. Daniel was not only strong in, I will not eat that meat. I will not drink that wine. That's good. That's good. But he was strong in prayer and strong in seeking the face of the Lord and strong in intercession. You see, there are some one-sided Christians. They are strong. I don't drink. They are strong. I don't eat anything sacrificed to idols. They are strong. I don't wear that. They are strong. I don't put on that. They are strong. I don't sell alcohol. They are strong in I don't. I don't. I don't.
tell us the other side. You're strong in prayer. You're strong in courage. You're strong in obeying the Lord. You're strong in following after the Lord. The negative alone will not pass current into the place you need the electric current. You have to have the negative and the positive. And it is when those two things join together, the negative and the positive, that's when you have the fire. That's when you have the power that comes to your system. But if it's only the negative, I don't drink, I don't smoke, but do you pray? Do you believe? Do you intercede? And do you have the power of God that can drive every other sin away? And then it will drive death away from you in Jesus' name. Look at that, Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to kill Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, kill them all. And I want to remind you that Nebuchadnezzar died before the people he wanted to kill. Did you get that? Nebuchadnezzar, he died before the people, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he died before they died. He even said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, if you hear that sound of music, Babylonian music, if you fall down, worship, okay, all right, well. If you don't, I'll kill you, throw you into the fire. And where is that God who will deliver you out of my hand? You know the story. He threw them in. Did they die? They came out and they examined them. They couldn't see any sign, any trace of the fire on them. But you know, they were still alive when Nebuchadnezzar died and Belshazzar, the son, had to take over. Didn't I tell you that this year you will live longer than all your enemies? Your life is secured. Your life is preserved. But don't consult the necromancers, the familiar spirits, and all those people. And now God is going to give you an incredible assurance. Even you stand before the king, you'll be an intercessor in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, Daniel's faith in discovering the secret. Number two, dedicated friends with desire for the secret. Number three, divine favor in disclosing the secret. Let's look at number one. Number one, Daniel's faith in discovering the secret. We're coming to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 14. Daniel chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone for to slay, to kill, to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Look at verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desire the king that he would give him time. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar will not give all those magicians, all those astrologers, he'll not give them time. He knows, he said, I know you are buying time. I know you are delaying things. You want to keep on talking to me, until the dream will go away from me. And then I said, okay, let's forget it. It's not important after all. He said, I will not give you time. Tell me now. If you don't tell me now, all of you will be slain. The same thing his people, the Chaldeans, asked for. Give us time. Daniel went in, and Daniel said, as he went in, he desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation and the permission they have not given to other people. You will have that permission. What he said, no, you don't have time. Tell me now. If you don't tell me now, you are gone. And then when you come in, welcome, Pastor so-and-so. Because they call you pastor in your place of work. Am I right? They say, pastor, pastor. They say, they don't call you madam. They said, pastor, Mrs. so-and-so. And then you tell them, no, I'm not pastor. Why are you telling them you are not pastor? They recognize the pastoral anointing upon you. Accept. And that anointing will work in Jesus' name. And what they don't allow from others, they'll allow you. They'll give you the time. And then you will manifest the gift of heaven upon your life in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 25. I'm reading from verse 14. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. When you fear the Lord, when you love the Lord, when you're giving to the Lord and you're fully surrendered unto the Lord, it says the secret of the Lord is what with all of them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's a promise for you. We're looking at number two now. Number two, we're looking at dedicated friends with desire for the secret. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2, reading from verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Don't be surprised with those names. Those are the names of those three friends. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans and the world called them Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But their normal name, and Daniel will not call them by the Chaldean name. Daniel will not call them by the name that Nebuchadnezzar gave them. He called them the original name that has God in it. And so we're told about, maybe it's the other way around, don't worry about that. He said, and his companions, and then we're told in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish. Daniel and his fellows should not perish. Give me a good amen. Amen. The pastor and his members should not perish. Amen. Our Father in the Lord with all his children will not perish. Amen. With the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The covenant of the Lord is upon us. And the goodness of the Lord will follow us all the year through in Jesus' name. The Lord will take care of us. We're looking at Psalm 37. We're reading from verse 4. In Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. They had a desire that God will show them what dream Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten, and God fulfilled the desire. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's your desire, it will come to pass. And then we're told in verse 6, it says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Mark chapter 11, we're looking at verse 22. Mark chapter 11, reading from verse 22. And Jesus answered and says unto them, have faith in God. In the God of life, you will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. In verse 24, tells us, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, like Daniel desired, like his three friends, companions desired, and he gave them their desire, whatsoever things therefore ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And ye shall have them. And I will have them. Today, I will have them. This year, I will have them. in your life, the promises of God and the answer that you deserve from the Lord, we shall have them in Jesus' name. We come to number three now. Number three is the divine favor in disclosing the secret. In Daniel chapter 2, we're reading from verse 19. Daniel chapter 2, reading from verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Lord, the God of heaven. In verse 20, says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will answer your prayer. You will bless the name of the Lord. Everything you ask him, according to his promise, he will do in your life in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable, hidden, unknown, that other people have not been able to have. Paul the apostle said, even though I'm the last to come of the apostles, Peter, James, John, and the rest of the apostles had been preaching and marching on before he was even converted. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. But the grace of God came to him, and he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then in verse 9, it says, and to make all men see, look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to make Nebuchadnezzar see, and to make all those magicians, all those astrologers, and all those sorcerers, and all those Chaldeans, to make them see the secret they could not discover, and they could not bring out, that there is a man in the land, there are people in the land, they have the Spirit of God in them, and God abides with them, and they were able to make them see there are people in this land, believers, saints of God, children of God. Now them sitting down there before me, and the secret that the world does not have, the Lord will reveal unto you. The doctrine that the people of the world, the doctrine they do not have, the Lord already has taught you, and when it comes to time to show it forth and to be a blessing to your generation, it will come forth in Jesus' name. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's a mystery, something hidden, something covered, that all those people could not tell, could not see. The Lord revealed the mystery unto them, which from the beginning of the world, that's why the magicians and the astrologers, that's why they told him, they said, no man anywhere, no king anywhere, from the beginning, from the foundation, from the time the world came to be, no man has been able to discover this that we are forgotten, that we are asking us. And that's what Paul the apostle was saying, that all the teachings of the world and all the marks of salvation and all the process of salvation, all the things that Christ has now made available, hidden from the foundation of the world before the world began, is now revealed unto us. And I pray that the Lord reveals this to us, will go with it and will shine beyond all our neighbors in Jesus' name. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning foundation of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And I pray that the revelation of the Lord that will turn your life around and will make you have all the privileges from Calvary, the Lord will grant unto you in Jesus' name. But you see what these four companions, what they did, they prayed, they sought the Lord. They were not sleeping all the time, and they were not just discussing the issue and discussing situations. You see, believers today, why don't we have this kind of revelation? Because when any problem is happening anywhere, like in the church, like in one section of the church, like in your community, like in the state, like in any region, like in any part of the world, the believers, instead of praying, they're discussing, they're chatting, they're sending message here and there, and they're saying, this is going on, this is good, and nobody is praying. And because of that, the problem abides and the problem remains. But if we will do like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and will seek the face of the Lord will answer your prayer. Look at that same chapter. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, this is what it tells us. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able, our God does not change. Has God changed? Can God change? Our God can never change. And now, what he did at the time of Daniel, at the time of those four Hebrew children, he'll do today because he has not changed. That's why he says, now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That same power that worked in Daniel and worked in all those three Hebrew children to bring out what nobody else could discover, that power will dwell in you, will go with you. Nothing will shake you. Nothing will jolt you. Nothing will bother you. Nothing will make you panic. I lost my amen there. And nothing will make you tremble and then go to that power of darkness. Go to that power of darkness where you are in the name of Jesus. He'll give you all those things you're seeking for in Jesus' name. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory both now and forever in Jesus' name. Before you go, you spend time to pray, and God is going to answer your prayer. It's a new year. What is it you lack? What is it you have lost, you are seeking for? What is it you have forgotten and you want to recall? What blessing are you seeking for, that the blessing will be upon your life, be a blessing to you, a blessing to your family, to your children, and to everyone around you, and to the work of your hand? The Lord is ready to bless you and to reveal to you something new this year you never got before. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, thank you because you are still alive. You are a God who cannot change, and a God who does not change, a God who answers prayer, a God who reveals every secret that we need, a God that preserves our lives, that will not perish with the others in the world who perish because they do not have, they do not discover, and they have not received what God has revealed to his people that fear him, like Daniel, like Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. Let God make you special this year. Open your mouth and pray unto the Lord.